Hey, tailgaters! Ross of the Pigskin Tales Podcast here. Feel that summer heat? It's not just the sun, it's the thrill of upcoming college football season, stoking the coals. So get ready for the season. Dive into the history books with Homefield, the premium collegiate apparel brand from Indianapolis. Homefield crafts incredibly comfortable gear designed with iconic vintage nods over 150 colleges. A library of history right on your chest. Homefield is the Indiana Jones of collegiate apparel, uncovering hidden gems from school archives. Unique mascots, logos, and even unforgettable moments frozen in time. Visit homefieldapparel.com and shop the archives. Homefield Apparel, where comfort, nostalgia, and the spirit of college football history unite. Again, that's homefieldapparel.com.
Our podcast today is about the football history of December 2nd, and one of those birthdays of Hall of Famers for today is Willie Brown. And Willie Brown once said, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, "My job was not catching passes, my job was to stop the receiver from catching it. If I could have played for 15 or 20 years without an interception, that would have been fine. Anything beyond stopping a receiver, that's gravy." And we also talk about Willie Brown, but there's also the first lever helmet is used. The 1985 Bears coaches almost come to blows mid-game. And we also remember the run in the mud at the Iron Bowl, all coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the football history headlines for this December 2nd episode. And in this episode, we are going to start all the way back in the 19th century and work our way to the 21st century and everything in between. And let's get right at it as we start off December 2nd, 1893. Allegedly, many claim that the leather helmet was first used in a game of football on this day. The version in question was created by an Annapolis, Maryland shoemaker from moleskin straps. The first game that this masterpiece was used in was worn by Admiral Joseph Mason Reeve in the annual Army-Navy game. He had apparently been kicked and hit in the head so many times, his doctor told him that another impact could lead to instant insanity. Determined to play in the big game, Reeve went to the shoemaker and had him fashion a moleskin hat with ear flaps. We have a whole article written about that may be responsible for the first football helmet on our PigskinDispatch.com website. You have a link to it on the article today, so make sure you check that out because there's other people that claim to have been the first ones to make the football helmet. December 2nd, 1922, at Richardson Stadium in Kingston, Ontario. At the 10th Grey Cup, Queen's University won its first of three straight titles, defeating the Edmonton Elks by the score of 13-1. And if you check us out on PigskinDispatch.com for the December 2nd edition, you'll see there's a special guest blog post by Chris Lawton of 99yards.com. We've had great reviews every time he has guest blogged before in the past few weeks here, and we hope you enjoy this one too, so make sure you check that out. December 2nd, 1944, the 10th Heisman Trophy Award was given to Les Horvath. Les attended and played for Ohio State University as a halfback/quarterback. He earned football letters in 1940, 1941, and 1942, and again in 1944. The 1944 season was a special eligibility for Horvath, as most players of that era had only three seasons of eligibility, but the NCAA granted an extra season due to World War II and the lack of athletes in college. Ohio State University coach Carol Widows asked Horvath to return to the team for a fourth year. Due to the demands of the dental school, Horvath was initially reluctant to play, but agreed to after Widows promised that Horvath would be flown to all the games and would not have to practice as much as the other players. Ohio State went 9-0, won the Big Ten, and was ranked number 2 nationally. Horvath rushed for 905 yards and passed for 345. He ranked second in the nation in rushing, third in total offense, and was a unanimous All-American, most valuable player in the Big Ten, and won that Heisman Trophy. Les was the very first Buckeye Heisman Trophy winner in the 1944 season, according to Heisman.com. Now I'd like to talk about another Heisman Trophy winner, and this one happened on December 2nd, 1947. Heisman.com tells us that the 13th Heisman Trophy Award went to Notre Dame's legendary quarterback, Johnny Lujack. Lujack helped to propel the Fighting Irish team to a 9-0 record in 1947 as they claimed the national title. Johnny was Notre Dame's second player to receive the prestigious award, as Angelo Bertelli won the Heisman Award when Lujack was a sophomore. Johnny Lujack earned votes for the trophy as he was 61 of 109 on his passing attempts for 777 yards, and he also ran for 139 yards on 12 carries. December 2nd, 1950 at Legion Field in Birmingham. The 15th Iron Bowl was a fairly one-sided contest as the Alabama Crimson Tide rolled up on Auburn 34-0. December 2nd, 1951, at Griffith Stadium in Washington, D.C., the Philadelphia Eagles set an NFL record of rushing of 25 first downs as they powered their way to a 35-21 win over the Washington Redskins. That same day on December 2nd, 1951, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the very first number that the Packers retired in the history of the franchise took place. The jersey was the number 14, and that was worn by future Pro Football Hall of Famer wide receiver Don Hutson. Packers.com describes Hutson's biggest attribute of success in the NFL was the ability to cut sharply at top speed, with another was his uncanny knack for adjusting to the flight of the ball and running down where it seemingly was out of reach passes. December 2, 1951, the 16th Iron Bowl, which was played at Legion Field in Birmingham, brought another victory for the Tide as Alabama knocked off Auburn 25-7. December 2, 1952, Billy Vessels, a halfback from the University of Oklahoma, took home the hardware of the 18th Heisman Trophy. Vessels, according to Heisman.com's website, was the first Sooner to win the award from the Downtown Athletic Club, and one reason he earned the votes was due to his rushing for over 1,000 yards in 1952. As a matter of fact, he was the first Heisman winner ever to reach that milestone in rushing. The game in November against the rugged Notre Dame squad could have sealed the deal, though, as Billy, on nationally televised contest, ran for 195 yards on 17 carries, scoring twice, and he caught another pass for a touchdown. His late fourth quarter fumble, though, at the Irish 20, may have been its undoing for the Sooners, though, as it was their only loss of the season to Notre Dame, as the Golden Domers won 27-21. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the embed player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
December 2nd, 1957, the NFL draft took place, and the Chicago Cardinals picked Rice University quarterback King Hill as their top choice. ProFootballReference.com shares with us that Hill played in the NFL for a total of 12 seasons with the Cards in Chicago and St. Louis, as well as the Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings. In his career, he threw 429 passes for over 5,500 yards with 37 touchdowns. December 2, 1958. The Black Knights of Army went undefeated in the 1958 season, and one of the consistent performers on that great Army squad was halfback Pete Dawkins, a dual-threat runner and southpaw passer who on the 2nd of December 1958 took home the 24th Heisman Trophy. December 2, 1958, the 1959 NFL Draft was held, and the Green Bay Packers were on the clock first. Their first choice, Randy Duncan from the University of Iowa. According to HawkCentral.com, Duncan led the Hawkeyes to the 1959 Rose Bowl and finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting to Army's Pete Dawkins, whom we were just mentioning above. An interesting story about Duncan shared in the article was that during a Christmas season of 1956, before the 1957 Rose Bowl, the players were asked about if winning the Rose Bowl was on their Christmas wish list. Duncan recanted, I don't care about the Rose Bowl victory. I want to take a look at James Mansfield and give her a kiss. Entertainer Bob Hope heard Randy Duncan's answer and took action to make it happen. So during the Dinner of Champions before the Rose Bowl game, Hope gave Duncan the opportunity to close his eyes and plant a kiss on the era's leading bombshell, Jane Mansfield, while his teammates roared with approval. December 2nd, 1961. I think the University of Alabama likes to play on December 2nd because once again on the 26th Iron Bowl, Alabama shut out Auburn 34-0 in Birmingham. December 2nd, 1961, at CNE Stadium in Toronto, the sixth title for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers was held at the 49th CFL Grey Cup as the Bombers overcame the Hamilton Tiger Cats 21-14. December 2nd, 1962, at Exhibition Stadium in Toronto. 1 year later, the 50th Grey Cup game is once again those Winnipeg Blue Bombers edging out the Hamilton Ticats 28-27 this time. We talked about this one yesterday as the game actually started on December 1st, but due to severe fog, the balance of the contest was suspended and the game became the first Grey Cup ever to be completed on a Sunday. And don't forget, on pigskindispatch.com today, we have a special article on these CFL games by Chris Lawton of 99yards.com, the CFL editor for the website. December 2nd, 1963. The San Francisco 49ers had the top pick in the 1964 NFL draft, and their choice was Dave Parks from Texas Tech. December 2nd, 1967, at Lansdowne Park in Ottawa, the Hamilton Tiger Cats defeated the Saskatchewan Roughriders 24-1 in the 55th CFL Grey Cup. Okay, this next one is a great Iron Bowl matchup. December 2nd, 1967, it was called the Run in the Mud. The Crimson Tide was down by 3 points with less than a quarter to go in a muddy, sloppy Legion Field. Alabama quarterback Kenny Stabler busted his way through the Tiger defense for a 47-yard touchdown scramble. Alabama held on tight to their lead and defeated their rival in the 32nd Iron Bowl with a final of number 8 Alabama 7, Auburn 3. December 2nd, 1972, at the 37th Iron Bowl, it will forever be known by the words, "Punt, Bama, punt." Saturday down south once again comes through with a write-up on this game. It was in the middle of the fourth quarter. Alabama was on cruise control as they led 16-3, but were forced to punt when the ball control offense had stopped. Punter Greg Gant took the snap and put the foot the ball, but then Auburn linebacker Bill Newton pushed his way through the line and blocked the punt while another Tiger, David Langner, scooped it up and ran back for a touchdown. That's incredible all by itself. But a few minutes later, the Tide drive stopped once again. Newton blocked that one too, and guess who ran it back for the winning score? You got it. Defensive back David Langer ran back another punt just minutes after the first one. You need to watch these plays in the video that we have on pigskindispatch.com to believe it. In one of the most uncanny times, as lightning striking twice, the Auburn Tigers edged out the Crimson Tide of Alabama 17-16 in a big comeback win at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama. December 2nd, 1975. Talk about lightning striking twice. Well, it's not by chance when you're a dominating player, and that's exactly what Ohio State running back Archie Griffin was. Griffin, on this date, became the first player ever to win the Heisman Trophy in two consecutive seasons. December 2nd, 1978, at the 43rd Iron Bowl, the Tide rolled again as they defeated Auburn 34-16 in Birmingham's Legion Field. December 2nd, 1984, Miami Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino broke the NFL single-season touchdown passing record when he threw his 37th scoring strike. Unfortunately for the Fins fans, it was the Dolphins' 45-34 loss to the Oakland Raiders is when it happened. Dan the Man finished the 1984 season with a record 48 touchdown passes thrown. Speaking of the Dolphins, 1 year later, December 2nd, 1985, at the Orange Bowl in Miami, the Chicago Bears head coach Mike Ditka and their defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan almost came to blows at the halftime locker room of their only loss in that historic 1985 season of the Bears. The discontinuity spread to the players as out on the field as the Bears were out of sync and suffered a 38-24 loss to those Miami Dolphins. December 2nd, 1989, quarterback Andre Ware of the University of Houston won the 55th Heisman Trophy Award. That same day, December 2nd, 1989, at Jordan-Hare Stadium, the 54th Iron Bowl saw Auburn take care of business as they handed the Crimson Tide a 30-20 loss. December 2nd, 1995, at the 4th SEC Championship game, number 2 Florida knocked around number 23 Arkansas 34-3. And don't forget about December 2nd, 2000, at the 9th SEC Championship game, it pitted number 7 Florida against number 18 Auburn. The Gators once again had it going as they cruised past the Tigers 28-6. That same day, there was another top 10 matchup on December 2nd, 2000 in the conference championship, and it was at the 5th Big 12 championship game as number 1 Oklahoma played number 8 Kansas State. The Sooners outlasted K-State 27-24 to win the conference. December 2nd, 2006, another top 10 in the country championship game occurred as the 15th SEC championship game. The number 4 Florida Gators got past the number 8 Arkansas Razorbacks by the score of 38-28. Same day, other part of the country, December 2nd, 2006, it was when number 16 Wake Forest took on number 23 Georgia Tech at the 2nd ACC championship game. It was a real nail-biter as the Deacs nudged the Jackets 9-6. Then over in the Big 12 championship game, at the 11th time that game was played, it was the number 8 Oklahoma Sooners outlasting the number 19 Nebraska Huskers 21-7. Whew, that's a lot of headlines for one day, but we are not done yet because we have some birthdays of Hall of Famers to talk about for this December 2nd, and we're going to start off in the year 1901 in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The Swift Harvard halfback, George Owen, was born. George was a great all-around athlete who starred at hockey and baseball too. George Owen was rewarded for his brilliant collegiate gridiron career by being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1983. December 2nd, 1940, at Yazoo, Mississippi, Willie Brown, the great cornerback from the Oakland Raiders, was born. Willie had 54 interceptions in his 16-year career in the AFL and the NFL, and he returned two of those picks all the way for scores, including a 75-yarder in the big stage of Super Bowl XI. The Pro Football Hall of Fame tells us that Brown played on 5 All-Star teams for the AFL and in 4 NFL Pro Bowls. Willie Brown was entered into the Pro Football Hall of Fame at the 1984 enshrinement ceremonies. December 2nd, 1953, in Atlanta, Georgia, Randy Rhino, the great DB from Georgia Tech, arrived to his parents' delight. The NFF says that Randy Rhino was the first Yellow Jacket to be a 3-time All-American player. The National Football Foundation selected Randy Rhino to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1982. December 2nd, 1974, at Orland Park, Illinois, Pat Fitzgerald, the time of this writing, was a very successful head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats. Pat was also a standout linebacker for the Cats in his playing days. The NFF thought enough of his great playbacker that they inducted him into their College Football Hall of Fame in 2008. What a great football day December 2nd was, and we hope you remember to look at pigskindispatch.com and check out that article by Chris Lawton on the Grey Cups, as well as our football history headlines that we have written down. And we'd like you to hit the subscribe button on this podcast player that you're using, or go to your favorite podcast provider and make sure you check out this podcast, or go to the sportshistorynetwork.com, where we have plenty of podcasts, including the Pigskin Dispatch, well as many other sports history podcasts that you can enjoy. Make sure you subscribe and listen to them also. And make sure you tune back tomorrow for this podcast on the pigskindispatch.com's podcast, because we're going to talk about the last NFL team that didn't throw a pass in a game, some big names on the Heisman Trophy with winners like Rozier, White, and Sanders, and the merger of two NFL teams, all coming up tomorrow, so don't miss it. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. Tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to contact us, we're at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on your email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.